I want to draw your attention tonight to Psalm 141. We were in this portion the last time I spoke, as I recall, because we were dealing with the subject of the altar of incense. And there's mention made of that here in Psalm 141. Let me just read the psalm with you. Lord, I cry unto thee, make haste unto me, give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, keep the door of my lips. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity, and let me not eat of their dainties. Let the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness, and let him reprove me, it shall be an excellent oil which shall not break my head. For yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities. When their judges are overthrown in stony places, they shall hear my words, for they are sweet. Our bones are scattered at the grave's mouth, as when one cutteth and cleaveth wood upon the earth. But mine eyes are unto thee, O God the Lord. In thee is my trust. Leave not my soul destitute. Keep me from the snares which they have laid for me, and the gins of the workers of iniquity. Let the wicked fall into their own nets, whilst that I withal escape. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word. This psalm, Psalm 141, in common with many other psalms, is in the form of a prayer to the Lord. It contains, like many of them do, the spirit of devotion and supplication. It has been described by one person as a prayer for preservation from evil. And that, of course, is the kind of prayer that the Lord taught us to offer in the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You could say deliver us from the evil one. And there are some very simple things that we can learn about the topic of prayer from this portion of Scripture. You'll see in verse 1 the desire of prayer. Lord, I cry unto thee. Make haste unto me, give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Twice he mentions the cry. Really would indicate an anxiety to get an answer from God, a very great and fervent desire. The idea here is, I have cried and will go on crying, according to the tense of the original here. And we're reminded of the words that are given in that parable, or as a preamble to the parable in Luke chapter 18, men ought always to pray and not to faint. And the parable that follows is of the widow who comes to the unjust judge, and really she keeps on crying. She's a woman who's filled with importunity. She continues to cry for justice. So there's an anxiety here to get an answer from God. And how often our praying, as I said last time, I believe, lacks this particular element. And that is fervency, desire. Again, when it speaks of Elijah, or as it is from the Greek there in the New Testament, in James 5, Elias, that's who it's talking about, Elijah. It tells us that when Elijah prayed, that he prayed in a way that suggests, and the original brings this out, the margin brings this out very well, that he prayed in his prayer. And I'm thinking of James chapter 5, and the mention that's made of him is in verse 17. And he prayed earnestly. The thought is that he prayed in his prayer. We would say today he really prayed. And that's what we want the Lord to give us tonight too. And not just tonight, but always when we pray, to give us that desire where we will not let him go except he would bless us. A real desire to be heard of the Lord. The desire of prayer is here. I cry unto thee. Also the designation, or even the description of prayer, is here in verse 2. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. You'll notice that it's described here, or it's designated, as a prayer which is set forth before the Lord. If you were to look at the Hebrew here, it's actually capable of a number of translations, and that's something that's true both in the Hebrew and Greek languages, and the translators have had to choose just one way of putting it. But there are a number of very good translations that could be given of the same word or the same phrase. For example, it could be rendered, let my prayer be prepared. And as we think about the reference there to incense, let my prayer be set forth, or let my prayer be prepared before thee as incense. If we were to go back to Exodus chapter 30 and read from verse 34, we would discover that in fact the incense was prepared. It was something that was put together according to the Lord's appointment. Exodus chapter 30 from verse 34. The Bible says there, and the Lord said unto Moses, take unto these sweet spices. And then they're mentioned, stacte and onycha and galbanum. These sweet spices with pure frankincense, of each shall there be a like weight. And thou shalt make it a perfume, a confection after the art of the apothecary, tempered together, pure and holy. So the idea here is of the incense being put together, all the ingredients. The incense to be offered was actually prepared aforehand. And that is not to say that there's anything wrong with extempore prayer. We believe in that. We don't believe in coming with a prayer book, for example, to pray. Although I would say in your own devotions, if you write things down and bring them before the Lord, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But certainly the idea is that our prayers should be offered from hearts that are prepared by the Lord. And I think that's the thought here. C.H. Spurgeon commented on this, and he said, we're not to look upon prayer as easy work requiring no thought. And really, in my view, the words that follow in Psalm 141, verse 3, though they're often applied to our general speech, and my mother used to say this to me all the time, and I often wonder why she would do that. I'm such a gentle soul. I'm such a guy who's very slow to speak. And my mother used to say to me, son, you need to pray, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, keep the door of my lips. And I wish I could always take that advice. I wish I could always remember that. It is the word of Scripture, not just of a loving mother. And we do need to pray the Lord would set a watch before our mouths, that we would think before we would speak. We might not necessarily have to count to 10, but maybe 11. Before we speak, sometimes we would need to think. But this is given in the context of prayer. You note that. That the Lord would set a watch over our mouths and keep the door of our lips when we come to pray. So prayer should not be that which doesn't require any thought. Not just any old incense would be offered to the Lord. So let's think of that when we come to pray. Let us take care as we pray. I said this was capable of a number of translations. It could also be rendered these words in verse 2. Let my prayer be set forth. Let my prayer be directed as incense. And as I pointed out last time, I think in that message, the incense was directed upward. It actually went up to God. And so our prayers must ascend. We want our prayers to come up before God. We don't want them bouncing off the ceiling and coming back down. We need to pray the Lord would make our prayers effectual. And we also could note here that it could also be translated these words, let my prayer be established. Let my prayer be set forth. Let it be directed. Let it be prepared. Let it be established. The idea being of making it firm and secure. David did not want his prayer to be like that, which is feeble or languishing or easily dissipated, but like that which is firm and secure. Prayer that remains before God until the day when it is answered. And that really brings us to that thought again of the incense in Revelation chapter 8, the prayers of the saints being stored up before the Lord. It's a wonderful thought that we could pray for things tonight, and sure, we would love for the Lord to answer prayer tonight in certain areas, but there may be things that we pray for tonight the Lord doesn't answer for a month or for 6 months or for several years, and yet God has promised to answer prayer. I was reading the other day again where Stephen, after whom I was named, was being stoned to death. He prayed for his persecutors, and he said, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And then he fell asleep. He went to be with the Lord. And in the next chapter, we read about that man who had been holding the garments of the persecutors, that he was knocked off his beast, and the Lord saved him, Saul of Tarsus. That was a direct answer to Stephen's prayer. And yet when Stephen's prayer was answered, Stephen was already in glory. It may be that a lot of our prayers will be answered, brethren, after we're gone. Because these prayers are established. They're set forth before the Lord. Just like that incense that's mentioned in Revelation chapter 8. Prayer that remains before God until the day when he decides to answer or purposes to answer. There's a desire of prayer, there's the designation of prayer, or its description, if you like. There's the dependence of prayer. And once more in verse 2, there's this reference to the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. The hands lifted up, of course, is expressive of prayer itself. The thought being, or the idea being, of a beggar in need. Here is one who is really saying to the Lord, give to me and meet my need. Hands lifted up to him. Paul refers to that in 1 Timothy 2 verse 8 as lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. The hands are to be clean. Holy hands. Unclean hands will hinder us in prayer. Isaiah 59 tells us that the Lord's ear is not heavy, his ear isn't deaf, he will be able to hear. His arm is not shortened that it cannot save. But yet there is that which may hinder us, because your sins and your iniquities have separated between you and your God. So while it is true that the Lord's ear is not heavy that it cannot hear, yet we need those clean hands, we need the application of the blood. There's a begging in prayer. When we think about the dependence of prayer, if we're coming as a beggar, there is literally that begging of the Lord, not in any pathetic sense, but with an understanding that he must help us, that we cannot effect the change that's needed without the Lord's intervention. Sometimes the Bible uses the word beseech, and it can often refer to begging, calling upon the Lord with that spirit of one who is bankrupt. There's a begging in prayer, but thank the Lord there's also a basis for prayer. And the dependence on the evening sacrifice is referenced here. The lamb was offered each and every day. Every morning and every evening. In fact, if you study it in the Old Testament, you'll find that oftentimes when it mentions at even, in the margin it is between the two evenings. It's that time of the afternoon when our Lord upon the cross would have cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's at noon. But then in the afternoon, you have the completion of that sacrifice where he says, it is finished. The time of the evening sacrifice. Prayer is based upon the blood. We find that all the way through Scripture. We see it in 1 Kings 18:36, where when Elijah drew near to the altar, when was it? It was at the time of the evening sacrifice. Just as it's referenced here in Psalm 141, verse 2, let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Elijah didn't come at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice by accident, but by design. His dependence was upon the blood. And once more we see this in the book of Leviticus, in chapter 6, from verse 14. Let me refer to that. It says, and this is the law of the meat offering. The sons of Aaron shall offer it before the Lord, before the altar. And as you read on, you see that it is burnt upon the altar for a sweet savour, even the memorial of it unto the Lord. There is a dependence upon sacrifice. And the word sacrifice in Psalm 141 has to do with the meat offering, as I referenced it there in Leviticus 6. If you check it out, the thought there is of the meat offering. And it really speaks to us of the righteous life of Jesus. And that life was given for us in sacrifice on Calvary's tree. Whenever he offered up himself as an offering to God, it was the offering up of his perfect righteous life as a sacrifice for us. He has given himself for us in death, and we pray on that basis. Once again, remembering the words of Paul in Hebrews chapter 10, we come with a true heart in full assurance of faith. We come depending upon the blood of Jesus, bringing us into the holiest of all. So as we pray tonight, may these thoughts be before us. May the Lord give us the right desire in prayer. May we come crying to him. May we come with our prayer being set forth before him as incense and even as the evening sacrifice. May that be our dependence. May we be coming, as it were, as beggars, but yet beggars who come with a basis, with a ground for our praying. For we know that the Lord is not unwilling, but is willing to give us that which we need, because we offer our prayer through the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. So may the Lord help us.